Herb Chapman in Washington has informed us that Senator Edward Ted Kennedy and his Eunice Kennedy Shriver, the wife of the head of the Peace Corps, have left the White House. They're going to Andrews Air Force Base. Will fly immediately to Dallas. Down in Dallas, the president's body has been removed from the hospital, taken out in an ambulance. Mrs. Kennedy rode as a passenger in the ambulance. She and the body escorted by police. The president's body will be flown this afternoon back to Washington. Mrs. Kennedy left the back door entrance of the emergency area of the hospital. As the body was taken out, she walked slowly, obviously felt dazed, appeared to be somewhat in a state of shock. Those who saw her enter the hospital just an hour and a half earlier said that she had not been hysterical, though naturally overcome with grief, upset. The Secret Service men cleared all of the spectators away from the area before the president's body was brought out of the emergency area. A crowd of several thousand had been waiting at the Dallas Trademark. That's on the outskirts of the downtown section of Dallas to hear a luncheon address by the president. Word of the tragedy spread. A hush. And a sadness fell over that crowd, too. In Dallas, the Sheriff's Department says that a rifle has been found on the staircase of the fifth floor of a building near the scene of the president's assassination. A foreign make rifle, a Mauser, the 7.65, a German-made army rifle. A telescopic sight on it. One shell left in the chamber. Three spent shells found on the floor. The fifth floor of a building right near where the assassination occurred. Three shells did tear into the president's bubble-top limousine. It stopped down as it was going through the streets of Dallas. One of those bullets lodged in the brain of President Kennedy. Another in the chest of Texas Governor John Connally. The Texas governor still reported to be in surgery. Doctors operating for a bullet in his chest. We have no further word on the condition of the Texas governor. What is the rest of the world thinking? Some 110 nations at the United Nations, for instance. Let's listen now to a report from ABC's John McVane at the UN.
Before the United Nations General Assembly convened this afternoon, delegates of all 110 foreign countries crowded in the aisles to shake hands and offer condolences to Ambassador Adlai Stevenson. Ambassador Sosa Rodriguez of Venezuela, president of the UN Assembly, said that he had to perform the sad duty of announcing the tragic death of President Kennedy, assassinated this afternoon in Dallas. He said he knew that he interpreted the feeling of the General Assembly in conveying to Mr. Stevenson deepest sympathy, condolences to Mr. Kennedy, Vice President Johnson, other members of the family. The Secretary General Outhant expressed profound sorrow at the tragic event, associated himself with the condolences given by the President to Mrs. Kennedy, the family, the government, and the people of the United States. Then Mr. Sosa Rodriguez asked delegates to stand for a minute of silence in tribute to the late president, after which he adjourned the meeting. This is John McVane, ABC, United Nations.
This is Don Gardner again in the ABC newsroom in New York. Let us have a full recap of the past 2 hours. The president of the United States, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, is dead. A sniper with a high-powered rifle shot him to death as Mr. Kennedy rode in a motorcade out of downtown Dallas. Texas Governor John Connally, riding with him, was wounded. As the president was rushed to a hospital, Mrs. Kennedy, holding her husband's blood-stained head, kept crying, "Oh, no." It was officially announced in the hospital that Mr. Kennedy died of a bullet that lodged in his brain. He died at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time this afternoon an hour and 28 minutes ago. The attack occurred at just 35 minutes before that. When the shooting occurred, Mr. Kennedy fell face downward in the back seat of the car. Blood could be seen on his head. Mrs. Kennedy rushed to him, tried to hold up his head, comfort him. Governor Connolly remained half-seated, slumped toward the left, blood on his face and forehead. Mrs. Connolly, also riding in the car, tried to help her husband. At the hospital, President Kennedy given a blood transfusion. It was in vain. Two priests administered the last rites of the Roman Catholic Church. It was from the priests that we heard the first information that the president had passed away. The Democratic senator from Texas, Ralph Yarborough, was riding in the third car behind the president in the motorcade. Senator Yarborough told of hearing three shots as the motorcade left downtown Dallas. It was passing through a triple underpass. Shots apparently fired from above, possibly from one of the bridges or from a nearby building. The newsman at the scene said that he saw a gun emerge from an upper story of a warehouse overlooking the area that the motorcade was passing through. Governor John Connolly of Texas is undergoing an operation for a gunshot wound in his chest. His condition reported to be serious, but his doctor says he has a good pulse, his respiration satisfactory. There had been some reports that Vice President Johnson had been slightly wounded in the shooting, but that's now denied. Assistant Presidential News Secretary Malcolm Kilduff says this is not so. The president is all right. President Johnson. Mr. Johnson and his wife left the hospital some time ago. It's believed they are now preparing to go immediately to Washington. With the assassination of President Kennedy, Johnson automatically became president. An intensive search underway for the assassin. Only sketchy descriptions to go by. A white man, about 30 years of age, slender build, weighing about 165 pounds. Police think that he fired on the presidential party with a Mauser rifle, the 7.65. The Dallas police have found that rifle on the fifth floor of a building overlooking the area where Mr. Kennedy was assassinated. One cartridge remained in the rifle. Three spent cartridges lay on the floor. Three shots didn't crash into the president's limousine. The presidential party was driving to a scheduled luncheon and a speech that Mr. Kennedy was going to give before Dallas business executives at the Trademark. Then the interruption, the assassination. When Mrs. Kennedy reached the hospital, her clothing was covered with blood from their husband's wound. President Kennedy, 46 years old, the youngest man ever elected to the presidency of the United States. His mother and father learned of the tragedy when a workman at their home in Hyannisport, Massachusetts, told them. As you know, the president's father, Joseph, a semi-invalid, result of a stroke several years ago. In Washington, the president's brother, Edward, a U.S. senator, was presiding over the Senate when word of the shooting reached him. We now receive word from Washington that he and his sister, Eunice, are flying immediately to Dallas, Texas, to be with Mrs. Kennedy. Immediately after, information came that the president's life had been snuffed out, the Senate recessed, the House had not been in session today, all the financial exchanges of the nation closed up. Let us for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, observe a moment of silent prayer. is dead, God give the strength to Lyndon Johnson to run our nation. On Capitol Hill, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has just made a statement. For a report, we switch now to Pete Clapper, ABC, Washington.
I'm speaking from the House gallery. One flight down is the office of Speaker John McCormick. He is at his desk. A heavy police cordon has been thrown around the second floor, and police are barring entrance to his office to all except correspondents with the proper credentials. This, is because the Speaker is next in succession after Vice President Johnson to the presidency. Speaker McCormick has described the death of President Kennedy as a staggering loss to the nation. He said, "Our country and the entire world will never forget President Kennedy. His leadership was superb in meeting the challenges of this period of world history." The Speaker was seated in his upholstered, heavy leather, red upholstered chair. Beside him was House Democratic Leader Carl Albert of Oklahoma and Republican Congressman Democratic Congressman Carl Vinson of Georgia. McCormick said that Ted Sorensen, President Kennedy's assistant, had tried to phone him with the news of the death but could not reach him. The Speaker at that time was reading news dispatches on a ticker in the House press gallery. He returned a few minutes later and returned Sorensen's call. At 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, he received the news that the president was dead. In his statement, McCormick said, "This is a tragic event. I feel very inadequate in expressing my thoughts. The nation has sustained a staggering loss, the significance of which is stupendous. Our country and the entire world will never forget President Kennedy. His leadership was superb in meeting the challenges of this period of world history. The warmth of his personality will never be forgotten. The relationship that existed between the president and myself, the Speaker, throughout the years has been very close and most friendly." I also have with me here a statement read by Congressman Joe Poole, Congressman-at-Large from Texas. He said, "Our president is dead. There is agony in the hearts of all the people of our land. The agony in the hearts of the people of Dallas is stirred with revulsion. An animal lives among us in hideous madness." That from Congressman Joe Poole of Texas. This is Pete Clapper, ABC, Capitol Hill.
Don Gardner again in the ABC newsroom in New York. We've learned from our man on the scene in Dallas that Lyndon Johnson will be sworn in shortly at the Dallas airport, Love Airport, where President Kennedy and his party arrived just hours ago. Mr. Kennedy's intended two-day swing through five cities of Texas on a speaking tour. ABC's Bob Clark is going to the airport. We'll have his report from there just as soon as possible. Lyndon Johnson coming into the presidency of the United States today has always enjoyed the highest esteem of Mr. Kennedy. From old political foes within the Democratic Party, they became a close working team. Mr. Johnson, back in 1960, tried for the presidential nomination. But when Mr. Kennedy won, Johnson accepted the second place on the ticket. In accepting, too, the Kennedy leadership, he became extraordinarily active in behalf of Mr. Kennedy's policies. That activity included working for the civil rights program Mr. Kennedy had outlined, something that lessened Mr. Johnson's popularity in the South. There's been some talk this year Mr. Johnson might be even dumped from the ticket next year. That's past history. On October 31st, Mr. Kennedy was asked whether, if he ran next year, he would again want Mr. Johnson as the vice presidential nominee. His response? Yes. Johnson's a former Democratic senator from Texas. I think probably he's best known for the vigorous and aggressive way that he handled the job of Democratic leader in the Senate before he quit that post to become the vice president. What direction might the administration of Lyndon Johnson take? Back on April 26th in Washington, he made a speech. Might be some indication. He offered a broad view of what he thought the Democrats should attempt in the upcoming presidential campaign and thereafter. He said, The Democrats must demonstrate that they are a party of action, offering solutions for the new kinds of problems brought about by population increases and concentration and by the lengthening of life expectancy. Said Mr. Johnson, we have new capacities, we have new potentials, we stand at the edge of a new era of human progress in our own country and in the world. And said Mr. Johnson, at this decisive moment of opportunity, the part of the opposition offers only the slogan, America cannot do it, America cannot afford the programs we need. He called for full and enthusiastic support of Democrats everywhere for the Kennedy programs, both foreign and domestic. We're waiting to hear further word from Bob Clark in Dallas at the airport, where Vice President Johnson, now President Johnson, is expected to be sworn in momentarily. This from Dallas, Texas. The police department today arrested a 24-year-old man, Lee H. Oswald, in connection with the slaying of a Dallas policeman shortly after President Kennedy was assassinated. He also is being questioned to see if he had any connection with the slaying of the president. Oswald was pulled screaming and yelling from the Texas Theater in the Oak Cliff section of Dallas. He had a pistol. Officers took it away from him after a fight. A police officer who was cut across the face in the fight quoted Oswald as saying after he was subdued, "Well, it's all over now." A large crowd had congregated around the theater and saw that arrest. The police had to hold the crowd back because many apparently connected the arrested man with the slaying of the president. The Dallas policeman who was slain had been killed by a man answering the description of Oswald in the neighborhood a short time before. The policeman had been slain with a pistol, such as Oswald seemed to be carrying. Observations concerning the president's death now from congressmen. Once an old political enemy, a Republican from Indiana, Charles Halleck, speaking from Washington.
This is Pete Clapper at the House Gallery. With me is Minority Leader of the House, Charles Halleck.
The assassination of President Kennedy is an unspeakable crime against all of the people of this country. The world should know that in this hour of national tragedy, Americans stand together as one, shocked and grieved at this unbelievable news. Political differences have no part in the personal affection I felt for President Kennedy, an affection I have reason to believe the president felt for me.
That was House Minority Leader Halleck. This is Pete Clapper, ABC, Capitol Hill.
President's body will be flown back from Dallas this afternoon. His body was taken from the hospital in Dallas, the Parkland Hospital, some time ago. Mrs. Kennedy went in the ambulance along with her husband's body. Vice President Johnson is at the airport with Mrs. Johnson. Lyndon Johnson expected to be sworn in at the airport. It is possible that the presidential party will return in sorrow aboard the same plane to Washington. Not since that 12th day of April, back in 1945, when word flashed from Warm Springs, Georgia, that President Roosevelt was dead, have the people of the United States of America been so stunned and agonized by this electric news from Dallas, Texas, early this afternoon, that the United States has lost our president. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, age 46, shot to death by an assassin's bullet as he rode through the streets of Dallas in a happy motorcade. People walked the streets of the big cities and the narrow sidewalks of village, all with the same stunned reaction. Is it true? And then a muttered, "Oh my God, the president is dead." How did it happen? Well, first reports flashed through the country and the world. Millions waited, stunned, prayerful. We reported that the president had been cut down by gunfire. We prayed. We hoped. He was wounded. We hoped his wounds would not prove fatal. More than an hour passed before that feared answer came. The dreadful word, "The President of the United States is dead." He lived 35 minutes after the bullet was fired into his body. Died of a bullet lodged in his brain. Anger follows the first shock. Here in New York City, in downtown Manhattan, a man slammed a newspaper down on an office table. He ran out of the room in near hysteria. Can't help but have a few tears. Women and men wept unashamedly in front of New York St. Patrick's Cathedral. Then he fell on their knees and wept. ABC's Stuart Klein has just returned from Grand Central Station here in Manhattan. He talked to some of the people down there at the crossroads of the world. Stu, what was it like?
Don, the word I heard most was stunned. There was anger, of course, and some people openly cursed the assassins. But for the most part, the people at Grand Central were just stunned, shocked, just disbelieving. Here is what some of them were saying.
I just heard about it. I heard it at the Westinghouse International office where I just came from. I'm not with Westinghouse, but I'm almost speechless. I feel that the whole world, not only the United States, has lost one of its greatest leaders. Whether you are a Republican or a Democrat, he was an American, and first and foremost, he was an American president.
Could I ask your name and hometown?
Certainly. Werner Brandes, New York City.
Thank you very much.